Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi. Avodah Zarah Daf Memches. We begin right on top of the Mishnah Shalosh Asheroisin. Just as we had three types of structures designated for Avodah Zarah, we had three stones. Here comes the next Mishnah with three types of Asherah trees, which are considered Avodah Zarah in varying degrees. And depending on the level of Avodah Zarah, likewise, that type of bittul is required, because bittul, nullification of that Avodah Zarah, is basically undoing the Avodah Zarah status of that item. So it has to match, it has to correspond to the nature of that Avodah Zarah. So we have three levels. Shalosh Asherosein. The first and foremost is an Ilan Shenotoi Mitchila L'shem Avodes Kachav. He planted the tree for Avodah Zarah use. Harizu Asur. The actual tree becomes Avodah Zarah material. And as Rashi says, it's Asur until Ad Shivat Lena Ha'ivet Kachav, until the guy is Mevatel. He starts chopping the tree, breaking the tree, and by doing so nullifies the Avodah Zarah status of the tree. Next level is Gidoyu Pislay. So the tree was already there, but he went and he trimmed it, he fixed it up, L'shem Avodas Kachav. And Rashi explains, his intent is to worship the new growth, the new branches, the future growth that will come out from this tree going forward. And in fact, the tree did produce that new growth. So that extra bit is Avodah Zarah, Noita Masha Hechlev. How do we reverse this situation? How do we remove the Avodah Zarah element of the tree? We have to take away the new growth, Noita Masha Hechlev, and then the tree itself is okay. And seems from Rashi, and that's how Tosis explains it, that it's only because he didn't really intend on serving the tree itself. He was just worshipping the new growth. So then he removed that new growth, and it reverts back to its permissible status. In the third case, we have Hamid Tachteh Avodas Kachav. The tree was a benign tree, regular tree, and then he placed a statue beneath it. According to Tosfos, there's a concern of Maris HaAyin, lest it appear like the tree itself is being worshipped. So now the tree, in its current state, cannot be used unless he removed the statue of Vinatala. If he removed that Avodah Zarah from beneath the tree, Harizu Mutaras, the tree is back, good. Other Rishonim learned that the tree is given the status of Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, he's serving Avodah Zarah, so while the Avodah Zarah is still there, the tree is Asur Min HaTorah until it's removed. So we have three levels. The tree itself was planted for Avodah Zarah. The tree itself becomes Avodah Zarah. It was fixed up, pruned and fixed up for Avodah Zarah with the intent of serving and worshipping the future growth. So that future growth is us. If it would just serve as a canopy over an Avodah Zarah item, as soon as you remove that item, the tree is back to normal. Amrid v'Rav Yanai, so the Beis Medrash of Rav Yanai, they explained, when do we say that future growth, the new branches, are asur? Vahu, that's only provided to hivrich. Hivrich means that they bend the branch into the ground and bury it and takes root and comes out on the other side as a new. Vihirki, well, they grafted. I took a bit of this Avodah Zarah tree. Sorry, I took a piece of a different tree and grafted into this Avodah Zarah tree. And now we have new growth coming from this graft. So these are modifications within the tree itself. Then we say there's a problem. Then we say that anything growing is of a desire. But otherwise, if it's just a little trim or a prune, that's okay. Asks the Gemara about the Mishnah, indicates otherwise. Vanan. In our Mishnah, we learned Gidoy Pislay Tanan. even a trim, a pruning, has now transformed the tree and its future growth into a zara. Eloki itmar drabyanai linyan bitul itmar. You're right. When Rabbi Yani spoke about grafting, doing some sort of serious alteration to the tree, it was with respect to bitul, which means the afagav the hivrach vihirki v'buguv v'shalilan. Even in a case where he altered the tree itself by grafting, etc., don't think it's tree is far gone, is permanently affected. No. Even in this case, as long as he removes the new growth which came about through this alteration, through this modification, the tree is now back to normal. The mal d'tema, perhaps I would think, once he does such a serious step, he modifies the tree. Given the hivrach v'hirkev b'guv v'shalilin, and he modified the actual tree, perhaps it should be sort of upgraded and regarded like that first category, where he planted the tree for the desired purposes, in which case you can't really fix it unless you eradicate the tree. It's as though the whole tree was planted for the desired. But litzar kula, and the entire tree should become usher unless he was mevatel the tree. So perhaps, you know, a slight pruning, a slight trim, no, doesn't have such a profound effect on the tree, in which case we say only future growth is affected. But in this case, we sort of replanted the tree itself, he grafted, etc. Perhaps that transforms and converts the whole tree into Avodah Zarah. But let's recall the entire tree, even the original part of the tree, should become Asr. Kamashmon, the point is no. If you planted for Avodah Zarah, you're right. But in this case, it's just an alteration, it's a modification, it's a fix-up. It doesn't affect the original tree, only the future growth. Amar Shmuel, what about Hamashtach Velilan? He simply bows to a tree. So it's an existing tree, and he bowed to it. Halacha is Teisvasai Asura. Any future growth is Asura. Teisvasai Asura. Masa Rabbi Lezer. Gido Yepislai. Lavedis Kechavim. In the second case of the Mishnah, we speak about pruning the tree to prepare it for future Avodas Kechavim use. And in fact, new growth comes out. Noitel Masha Hechlev. So the new growth is Asr until it's removed. Which indicates that Gidlo Yupisle, only Gidlo Yupisle in has that effect. A trim, a prune. But Loi Gidlo Yupisle, but if you just bow to it without actually modifying the tree, Loi, it wouldn't affect the tree. And you're telling me even a bow to the tree does it? Amelch Shmuel, so Shmuel will respond to you like this. Hamani Rabarni, if you recall, this is really subject to machlek, subject to the dispute between, right, a tree that was not planted for it, or just worshipped later. What happens to the tree? What happens to the new growth? It was Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda a couple of days ago told us that even in this case, any future growth is affected as us. Rabbanan say no. Tree is a naturally occurring phenomenon, it's a natural thing. Unless it was planted for Avodah Zarah, it won't be affected by just simply bowing. So the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanon, Hamani Rabbanon, who say that just bowing to this tree won't affect its status. So if he pruned it, but just bowing doesn't transform the tree into Avodah Zarah. Hamani Rabbanon was Shmuel, and Shmuel who told us otherwise, that even Mishtachve, even about to this existing tree, affects it. With respect to future growth, Ushmol Dama Krabiesi, it's going like that, Shita, Reis Rehuda, Dama who says, Ilan Shanote, Lubay Seif, Avdei Asr, even a fellow who is Ovid to an existing tree, it's Asr. Regarding future growth, Mask of Laravashi, says Ravashi, why are we pinning Shmuel down, so to speak, to Rabbeis Rehuda, which is not consistent with the Rabbanon? Mimai, who says that your understanding of the machlokes is correct? Mimai de Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda v'Rabban, who says that these two opinions, b'teisef es pligi, are even discussing, are disputing the additional, the new growth. According to Rabbanon, it's okay. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not okay. Dilma teisef es l'direi hakol asa. Perhaps If one bows to an existing tree, any new growth is certainly forbidden. In which case, Shmuel is following the universally accepted view on this matter. Ubikarei pliki. The machlekes between these two shittes, Rabbeinu Yehuda and Rabbanan, relates to the original part of the tree, the part that was in existence before this event took place. So future growth gets affected. The question is, does it affect the entire tree? The Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Savar, he holds, yeah, Ikari Nami Asra, entire tree gets affected by this conduct. The Chsiv, where the Pasuk speaks about two types, Vashereihem. All types of trees must be destroyed. Ones that were planted for the Zohar purposes, ones that were worshipped midway, Vashereihem, right? Lashon Ram, Tishrum Beish, gotta burn. Rabbanon Sabra, Rabbanon say, no. Ikar Ilan Shari, yeah, if the tree was planted for the Zohar, yeah. Then all those trees get burnt. That's why it says Vashereihem. All the trees that are planted for the Zohar. But a benign, innocent tree that was merely bowed to and worshipped, sure, the future growth is forbidden. But the actual tree that was there before, Ikar Iglan is Mutar, is sure, it's okay. Because look at the other pasuk. It speaks about removing part of the tree. Tekadiyon means to chop part of it. The new growth has to be removed, because the original tree remains unaffected. Ezo Ilam, give an example of a tree, Shegidui Asur, where the new growth is Asur, Vikari Shari, but the original part of the tree is Mutar. Have you Aimer? Presumably it's this case, this type of tree that was affected midway. Ilan Shenatloi, a tree that was planted for personal use. Ula Basoif Avda, and then it was worshipped. So says Ravashi, so who says this is not the correct approach to understanding the machlekes? Perhaps all agree that even a tree which was already there, but then worshipped, the new growth, anything coming from now on is asr, according to all shittas, as per Shmuel's statement. The question is only with respect to the tree that was there until now, the part that was predated the worship. Rabbanan say it's mutar, Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda says it's asr. Perhaps you'll respond by telling me, ha, loy mutar tzinan hachi. But if you go back to our discussion on Daf Mem Hei, where we had this back and forth, where we, in fact, we presented this machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan, we didn't explain it that way. We actually learned the other way, that Rabbi Yosi is the one who focuses on this pasuk of Tegadayun, that only part of the tree becomes Asr, the new part, not the old part, and Rabbanan disagree even on that. Exactly so. Eifach, let's switch things around. Let's reverse our understanding of the machlekes. Eifach Rabbanan, the pasuk that we attributed to the Rabbanan, with Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, pin it to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. So basically, the pasuk of Vashereihem Tisrufum Ba'esh is Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda's source, that there were multiple examples of Asherah trees, different types that get burned, whether it was planted for Asherah or was worshipped later, it gets destroyed. Ud Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda the Rabban, and the pasuk that we figured was Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda's source, no, that connects to the Rabbanan, meaning that's the other pasuk, Vashereihem Tegadayun, that at times only part of the tree gets destroyed, i.e. a tree that was worshipped midway. So according to this approach, a tree that had been standing and then worshipped, all would agree future growth is Asr, which corresponds to Shmuel's statement. Says them, well, you can't say that, because take a look at our Mishnah, Cain, if that were the case. So then, Gidoy Upis Leman Ketani Lo. Who's the author of our Mishnah? In the middle case, we have a tree that was modified, that was trimmed, that was pruned for future Avodah Zarah use. Mishnah says, the actual tree doesn't get affected, it's just the new growth becomes us. Whose opinion is reflected in that mission? Loi Rabbanan, v'loi Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. Doesn't work according to either shita. Why? If it's the Rabbanan speaking, skip the pruning and the trimming. A simple bow to that tree would affect future growth, according to what you're telling me. Irabon, if it's a rabbon, but like you do, pislanami, even without this pruning process, to surface asur, just bowing it would make the future growth asur. So that's out. Irab Yesi, or Yehuda, if it's going like him, well, he says, if you worship an existing tree, not only does a new growth get affected, the entire tree becomes asur. Yikir ilanami asur. And the Mishnah indicates otherwise, right? Well, says the Gemara can answer your questions. The Mishnah can go like either Shita, like the Rabbanon or like Rabbi Yossi. It can be going like Rabbi Yossi Rehuda. Ask you a question, doesn't it affect the entire tree? Yeah, sometimes, but not in this case. Ki ka'ama Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. When does he say that beloy gidoy upisli ikur ilan asur, that even the whole tree becomes us, even without trimming it, just bowing to it. Yeah, bestama. That's when you don't have any indication to the contrary. So he bows to the tree, he figured the whole tree becomes an object of avodah zarah. Aval gidu yipisle, but in this case, where he trimmed it, that mitigates the effect. You know why? Goli adaita, because he's indicating by doing so, he doesn't like the tree the way it is. The tesevas nichale. He's trimming it. He's modifying because he's looking for future growth. He wants a new, the tree to develop new branches, new growth. He wants to worship that. He's uninterested in worshiping the old tree. So only the new growth gets affected. So that's one way to explain our Mishnah. Or the Mishnah could be echoing the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ask you a question, well, even bowing would affect the tree. Why discuss trimming and pruning? There's a special lesson here. Gidoy upisle tzrichle, there's need to present it as such, as a fellow who pruned and trimmed. You know why? Perhaps I would think, kiven the avile masa begufe. In this case, where he actually tinkered with the tree itself, it's more than just bowing to the tree. He fixed up the tree, so perhaps that makes it worse. Ikar ilan nami litzer. In this case, perhaps the whole tree becomes usr. Comes the Mishnah and says no. Only the new growth and not the actual tree. But bottom line is, perhaps we could take on Rav Ashi's suggestion that if one bows to an existing tree, all would agree, even Rabban would agree, future growth is affected, as per Shmuel's statement. So again, we have three cases of Asherah, planted for Asherah, the whole tree, in its entirety becomes Asher. If it was trimmed, pruned, or as per Shmuel's case was bowed to, then only future growth is affected. According to Rishon Yehuda, perhaps the whole tree is affected when it's bowed to. And the third case is we have a desire placed under a tree, then you may not use the tree only as long as it's there. But once the problematic item is removed, you're good. And as we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah, this third case is given to Machlekes. This issur of using the tree while there's Avodah Zarah beneath it, that's only the Rabbanan. Rav Shimon says, no, the focus is on the Avodah Zarah. Nobody's thinking that you're worshipping the tree. You're free to use the tree. Says the Mishnah, Eizu hi Asherah, so what quantifies an Asherah? What exactly is it? If you find an idol beneath it, the tree is an Asherah. Shimon Oimer, no. Kol she'evden oisa. Provided the worshipping the tree itself, but just providing cover, protection for the desire beneath it doesn't affect the status of the tree. Umais, in fact, there was a story in the town of Tzidon, Maisa B'Tzidon, Be'ilon, there was this tree. She'evden oisa. They were worshipping the tree. Or so we thought. Umatzu tachtav gal, and they discovered a pile of rubble or stones beneath the tree. What's inside here? Amar lehen, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon instructed the people. He says, dig up the pile. See what's going on in there. Bitku as hagal azel. See, inspect the gal. Ubatku, and they inspected it. Umatzu baitzur, and they found this form, this statue inside. Amar lehen, he says, okay, that frees the tree. Since it's pretty clear that they're worshipping the statue, not to learn Sa'ilos, now we can permit the tree. Because clearly they were not worshipping the tree, rather only the idol. So he wasn't concerned about the presence of the idol beneath the tree. It doesn't affect the tree itself. Eizo Asherah? What do you mean, what's an Asherah? Why is the Mishnah asking a question? We just had a list, a full list of three types of Asherah. Vanan, Shalish, Asherah, Snan. The Mishnah in the previous segment gave us three types of Asherah. What do you mean, what is an Asherah? The Mishnah means to say like this. Let me explain to you, says this Mishnah. In reference to those three, two are universally accepted, the first two. Va'achas. But regarding the third, which entails placement beneath the tree, that's given to machlekes. That's so simple. It's a machlekes. To Rab Shimon Rabbon. And in fact, the Mishnah continues. So, Eizu Yashira Shenechel Kubar Shimon Chacham. So, what exactly is that one? That's the one. Kol Sheish Tachteh. It's Chacham, where you find a mezor beneath the tree. Chacham forbid use of the tree. Whereas Rab Shimon says, a tree is mutter. Rab Shimon Aymer Kol Sheoidin Oysa. In fact, Rab Shimon stresses his point again. He says, look, I hold that it's only Avodah Zarah if the tree is worshipped, but otherwise it's not Avodah Zarah. Okay, so again, we have three examples in the previous Mishnah. And our Mishnah is simply a follow-up to clarify that case number three was not accepted by all. Reb Shimon insists that only a tree which in itself is worshipped is a problem, otherwise not. Ezuhi Asherah Stam. Now comes a question. The Yidden enter Eretz Yisrael, they see trees galore. How do we, why should we suspect? Like, is there any siman to know what is an Asherah tree? Amar Rav, this would provide an indication. Kol shekoyim rem yeshem nachtel, you have the priests sitting beneath it. Vein toimen vipirasei, and they refuse to partake in the fruit of that tree, they consider it sacred. There's your red flag. Ushmol amar afilu amri. Even if they're willing to use the produce, but you hear that they're designating it for Avodah Zarah purposes, even if they say, Hani Tamri, all these dates of this tree, we're reserving it, Levei Natrafi, is meant for this particular Avodah Zarah. Also, it's also an indication of Avodah Zarah. Why? The Rami, Beis Shichra, Veshosi, Levei Biyamedim, their intention is to use it in making of beer. These dates are going to be used to make beer, which they'll drink on the day of the holiday, their religious holiday, Vishasi, Lebi Yamin, they'll drink it on the holiday. So that's also considered an indication that this tree is Avodah Zarah. That's a chiddush, even though they're planning on partaking and consuming the product, but within the context of a religious holiday. So in no way does that mitigate the Asherah status of that tree. So again, according to Rav, you know it's an Asherah tree if they keep their hands off. According to Shmuel, even if they plan on eating the fruit, but you see that they're designating it for Avodah Zarah purposes, and the entire tree is presumed to be an Asherah. Amar Meimar, how do we paskin? Omruli, Sabe, the elders, the Bumadisa told me, that Hilchasa Shmuel, and paskin like Shmuel, that even in that case, the tree is deemed Avodah Zarah and Asherah. Continues the Mishnah. So what do we do with the Asherah tree? Lo Yeshe Betzila. One must take care not to find himself, not to sit in the shadow of that tree. So even though you're not beneath the tree itself, right? The side shadow, right? So let's say the sun is beaming from the east and the tree now casts a shadow to the west. A person should not benefit from that shadow, shouldn't protect himself from the sun's rays, because that is considered hana'ah from Avodah Zarah. Tesis says Akasha, we find elsewhere that shadow is not really considered, you know, a real thing. Like by Beis HaMikdash, it says, you know, the shadow of Beis HaMikdash is not usur. He says, well, that's different because a building, the main function of a building is for its interior use, as opposed to a shadow which is just, you know, gets cast by circumstance. So it's not really an integral part of the structure or its primary function, whereas by a tree is meant for making shade. Another reason, he says, Avodah Zarah is more strict, and we're careful to keep away even from this type of residual benefit. So again, Leisha Bitzila, one should keep away from its shadow, Vim Yoshav Torah. But let's say he sits there and he benefits from it, although it's forbidden, but he doesn't become affected by the Tumah of Avodah Zorah, as long as he's not beneath the actual tree. Nor should he actually pass beneath the tree. In this case, if he passes, he becomes Tameh because he gets affected by the Tumah. Here's an exception to this rule. Suppose the tree had now extended and grown into the street. One passes beneath the branches which are protruding to the street. Tohar, he remains free from any Tumah. And Rashi explains, because this Tumah is Midrabbanon. Although we'll bring a pasuk later in the Gemara, but that's only like a sort of a support and a smachta, but it's really midrabbanon. Rashi says, "Vehecha the gazelle says rabban," in a case where it's encroaching on public territory, loy gazer rabban are suspended the tumah. So we have three cases, three halachas: keep away from the shadow. If one walks beneath the tree, is tameh, unless it's encroaching on public property. Asks the Gemara, "Leisha betzila." You need to tell me not to enjoy the shadow, the shade of the tree. Pshita, of course. Isn't that a simple halacha? Why even discuss it? Amarava barachan, or Rabbi Nitzchok, the point is to add, elolitzel tzila, to add the extended shadow as well. Rashi explains. Let's say the tree is 10 feet high. Typically, when the sun's shining from the other side, the shadow extends beyond 10 feet. So the sun's shining from the east, you'll find a long shadow to the west, perhaps even 20 feet long. So the primary sail corresponds to the height of the tree. So the first 10 feet is considered the primary shadow, the thicker shadow, the more pronounced shadow. And beyond that, it sort of lightens and weakens and blends into the surrounding topography. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is, lo yesha betzila, even sail tzila, even that sort of duplicate, weaker shadow, is off limits. Mechlal de betzel kamasa, so if the Mishnah is speaking about the phase 2 shadow, and there the Mishnah says, well, if you sat there, you're tar, would that indicate that if he actually sits in the first section, the primary shade, he becomes tameh? If he sits amongst the first 10 feet of shadow, he becomes tameh. That can't be so, because he's not under the tree. Says the moral, you're right. Loy, of course not. Tafilu. Of course, the truth would be that even if he's sitting in the primary section, the first initial shadow, he would be tar, as long as he's not beneath the tree. On the point of the Mishnah, is stressed, in terms of warning a person, or warning you to keep away even from that weaker section of shade. Some applied this statement, this explanation of Rabba Barachana, on the second part of the Mishnah, part B, which says, "Im Yashav Tar." If he sat in that shadow, he's still Tar. Pshito, obviously, he's not under the tree. Why would I think he's Tameh? On that, Amar Rabba Barachana, or Yechon, the point of the Mishnah is, El Etzel Kemos. The point of the Mishnah is to speak about the shade corresponding to the actual height of the tree, so the first section. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is to say, look, even if he's sitting there, don't think you become tameh. Perhaps there's a concern that he might accidentally, shift under the tree. No, even though he's so close to the tree, he's still tar. So again, the question is, if the Mishnah is speaking about that primary section, and the Mishnah says, well, don't sit there, and even if you do, you're tar. So let's infer from here, machlal. Can we deduce from here the tzel tzil that if he chooses to sit on the extended section of shadow, afil chatchil yeshav, that would be mut even chatchil, because the Mishnah only bans the first section. No, I know. The same exact rules apply to both sections of shadow. Hakamash, on the point of the Mishnah is to stress that afil tzel kamasa, you should know, even if you sit in the first section, im yeshav tar, if he sat there, he's tar, as long as he didn't sit beneath the tree. So bottom line is, it doesn't matter whether it's the first section or the extended section of shadow. They're both treated the same way. Keep away. But after the fact, you're still tar. However, one must take care not to pass beneath the tree. If he did so, he becomes tummy. Why? My time. Why is he tummy? I mean, I understand the tree is Avodah Zarah, but as we learned the other day, Avodah Zarah is only with tummy. B'maga, b'masa, not b'ayhil. It's because Avodah Zarah is hovering over you. You don't become tummy, says the Gemara. My time. So what's the reason for the tumma? we're concerned about Avodah Zarah, material offerings that are likely found under that tree. And that's going to be Matamayu be'oihel, even if it's found with you under the same roof. E'efshar, it's unlikely, de'leko, takrevas, avitzkechom, that there is no offerings that were offered to the Avodah Zarah underneath that tree. And that creates trouble. Mani, whose shita is this? Rabbi Yehuda, Brabris Bemas Seirahi, the Sani, as we find in a Brise, we didn't say Reimer. How do we know that Avodah Zarah offerings transmit tumah even through oil? Shenemar vayitzomdu lebal par, in describing Avodah Zarah, the pasuk compares it to a dead person who's certainly going to transmit tumah to anything found under the same roof as the mace. Vayichlu zivchei mesim. So we match Avodah Zarah to a mace. And we know ma meis metame boil, just like a meis metame through the power of oil after kriv sev gechav metame boil. Likewise, karbonis offerings that with the zora are metame boil. Hoyis gezelas rabim. However, it's leaning into the street. Vara tachtei tar. Even if one passes beneath it, he's tar. So the question is: are we speaking after the fact? You shouldn't do it, but after the fact, you're okay. Or is it even permissible? L'chatchil. Iboil. That was the question. Avar? He already did it. Hoy Ivar. Or it's okay to do it initially. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar Mishmei Dechizki Amar, he says, Ivar. You can do it initially. It's covering the street. Has no business being there. You can walk through it. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, no. Im Avar. It's only after the fact. You shouldn't do it. L'chatchil. V'loy pligi, really? There's no machlekes. It all depends on the circumstance. Depends if there's an easy, convenient, alternate route. Ha! The one that says, don't do it, l'chatchila, di'ika, was speaking that there is, dirka achrin, another route available, Taisa says. Pirush means katzer kazeh, just as short as this one. We're not obligating you to go around the world. He says, otherwise, in l'dav rasoy, there's no end. It means to say there's an alternate route which is just as practical. So in that case, you should prefer to avoid it. Hadaleka, the gachun, if there's no other route of the same distance, then you're free to walk beneath these branches. Amalir Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes told Lishami, his assistant, we know Rav Sheshes was blind, so he was led by this assistant, and he says, look, Kimatas Lassam, when you get to that point, the Asherah tree was leaning over the sidewalk, when you get there, Arhidni, grab me and make me run, meaning let's get through it quickly, let's rush through it. Now, what exactly was going on? Hechidam, either like a degachin, if there's no other route. Lom near Hitani, so what do you have to run? Mishra Shari, it's perfectly fine. Vidikachin, if there's another route to go on, Kiyamar Hitani Mishari, just because he told him to rush, why would that allow it? I mean, he should be avoiding it altogether. Loilam, deleka, degachin, sure, we're speaking, there is no other fair option. Halachically speaking, it's fully permissible, but since he was a man of prominence, v'adam choshev shani, it's very different. He has to hold himself to higher standards, lest people misunderstand what he's doing and draw conclusions and use it as a license to be even more lenient. So you have to be extra careful. Continues the Mishnah on the topic of avoiding any benefit from Avodah Zarah material. So again, we have this Asherah tree. Zoyrin tachteh yirakas. One may plant vegetables beneath that tree, but Moisak Sham only during winter time. Avaloy Moisacham, but not during summertime. Because in that case, the tree is benefiting the vegetables by protecting it from the higher sun rays, which are not a concern, obviously, during winter. V'chazirin, but regarding lettuce plants, which are adversely affected by any sort of sunlight, Rashi says, meaning the shade is very beneficial to those plants. So in this case, loy Moisacham, just like you'll avoid it by the during summertime. Likewise, it's forbidden to do so during wintertime as well. Rashi says, because they're going to benefit from the shady area even during wintertime. Okay, so during winter, regular vegetables during winter is okay, during summer is not. You shouldn't be allowed to plant any vegetables, even during winter time. You know why? We're concerned about fertilization. Noisher is because those leaves shed off the tree, alein, and land on these plants, v'havelen lezevel, provide fertilizations for these plants, which is ano from the Avodah Zarah tree. And this is a problem despite the fact that really the fertilizer aspect is only one element in generating growth. Because you need the soil as well. So you have one element, which is aser, the fertilizer, and you have the soil, the ground, which is mutter. That's called zeh v'zeh gerim. You have this and this, both combine, join forces to generate this result. What do? Do we ignore the forbidden element and just focus on the permissible element, which is the soil, which is fine? Or do we have to incorporate? Do we have to reckon with both elements? That's the machlekes. So it would seem from this Mishnah, the Rabbi Yossi is very strict on this regard. Lememra, the Rabbi Yossi is something he holds, Zev is a Goyim Asr, when you have two elements joining forces, so to speak, combining to generate a certain result, such as the fertilizer, which is Asr, joining with the ground, the soil, which is permissible, which is permitted, a permitted entity, Zev is a Goyim, it's Asr. Hence, you have to avoid planting anything under the Asherah tree in all seasons. Rabban Amri, but the Rabban who seem to allow it, who seem not to be concerned about this, the leaves and the fertilizer effect, Amri, they hold Zeh v'zeh gerim mutar. We have Zeh v'zeh, both being gerim, ignore the leaves. It's okay. Because just focus, you know, on the soil. Says the Gemara, is that so? The Rabbi Yossi holds Zev Zagarim is Asr. Rabbana say it's okay. If you recall, we had a Mishnah the other day, and analyzing the Mishnah, it would seem that their opinions are actually reversed. There's none. So the Mishnah says, in terms of proper disposal of a Dezara idol, of a Dezara materials, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shoyachik Bezara L'Ruach, grind it up and disperse it into the wind. We're not concerned that those particles will land on somebody's vegetable patch and serve as fertilizer. We're not concerned. Because, after all, the soil is permissible material, and we don't have to reckon with the added, you know, forbidden elements. Oy matalyam, or toss it into the ocean, and you're safe. Amrullah, the Chacham disagreed. They said, Afi nasa zevel. Yeah, he's trying to get rid of it, but ultimately, he might end up in somebody's farm. Torah disallows partaking in any way from the Zara. Apparently, the Rabban hold that we have, when we have two causations, we have two elements joining together, we have to reckon with both, which is exactly the opposite of the way we're understanding our mission. So we have this seemingly double contradiction, right? Kasha, we have a kasha, the Rabbanon, other Rabbanon. Between the Rabbanon here and the Rabbanon there. Kashya, the Rabbi Yossi, and the Rabbi Yossi. Between Rabbi Yossi here and Rabbi Yossi there. Says the Mor Bishleim, let's start with Rabbi Yossi. Bishleim, the Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi, like Kashya, we can try to solve this apparent contradiction between two Rabbi Yossis. The starting point is our mission. Even fertilizer coming from a desert creates a problem because there's an element of Isra. Zev is a Goyim is us. So why does he allow you to grind up the Avodah Zarah? What about the particles that might end up in somebody's field and serve as fertilizer? Hasam the Kazal Ibu. The reason is because over there he's destroying the Avodah Zarah. Matar, that's why he allows it. Rashi explains. The Avodah Zarah gets nullified, loses its status. Tosis explains, he's tossing it into the free wind. You know, it's unlikely that some, you know, substantial amount will end up in somebody's field and serve as fertilizer, so we don't have to reckon with it. Matar, he allows it. That's an exceptional case, haha, as opposed to our story, where the leaves are landing on the plant. The leukos leaf, but it's not going to waste. It's actually aiding and abetting, assisting in the growth process. Also, we have to reckon with it. It's us. So that's solved. Kont Rabbi Yossi, zeh v'zegerim is usur, except for in the case of the dispersed particles. Elo, the Rabbanon kashe. But we're stuck with the apparent contradiction within the Rabbanon. In our Mishnah, they seem to ignore the leaves. They hold, as long as the soil is okay. You can ignore the other force. Whereas in the case of a deserted disposal, they seem to be concerned about it. Even particles landing in somebody's field and aiding in the growth process of those crops. Says the Gemara, you're right, Eifach. We'll have to switch around all the names. So skip the attempt at resolving Rabbi Yossi's contradiction. No, we'll just switch around the names and we have it all settled. So instead of a contradiction, Rabbi Yossi will hold one way in both cases, Rabbanon will hold differently in both cases, and there you go. So whether Rabbi Yossi will hold Zevzagayim Asr in both cases, and Rabbanon will hold Mutter, or the other way around, whichever way we'll do it, we'll switch around the names to line them up with each other, so that both Mishnahs are on the same track. Another option is don't switch around names. So back to the question, right? So regarding the apparent contradiction, the Rabbi Yossi, Kedushanan, that was already resolved. He holds, when you have two forces, one is Asr, one is Mutter, you have a problem on your hands. Why does he allow you to grind up and powder the Avodah Zarah and toss it into the wind? Because it's unlikely it's going to cause any problems. What about the Rabbanon? Because the Rabbanon over here seem to hold Zev Zagarim is okay, versus and the other Mishnah where they say don't send around those particles because they might benefit somebody's crop. How do we resolve that? The answer is like this. In reality, they hold it's Asr. Zeh v'zeh goyim is Asr. The reason why they don't reckon with the shedding leaves off the tree is because the damage done by this tree, the shade that it provides, which actually hinders the growth of the vegetables, that undoes any possible benefit coming from that fertilizer. So in the equation as a whole, you're ending up with a minus. You're ending up undoing any benefit. So you're not really benefiting from a dessert, and that's why they allow it. Kedamar, as we find in a similar discussion, in Maseches Bechoros, actually, so let's say halacha there, you're not allowed to, if you have a carbon which had a blemish, right, you can't treat it like a regular animal, you can't flay its skin in a regular manner, even though it might end up, if you do it properly and neatly, you'll end up with a nice product, a nice skin, a nice hide, which can sell for a higher price, which will benefit the Hegdish, but at the same time, you're also chopping up you're destroying the flesh by doing that, so you're actually undoing any possible financial gain. So sort of cancels out, in which case you shouldn't do it. Kedamar, as he said, Rav Mori, Brei Dav Kahana, regarding flaying the animal, mash biach bar, sure, any benefit that you have in the skin, pagim abasar. You're going to be undoing it by ruining and lowering the value of the chopped up flesh. So there's no point. Achanami, same thing can be said over here by the vegetables planted beneath the Asherah tree. Mash biach b'nevia, any benefit derived from the leaves that come falling, Pagim Batzel is undone by the detrimental effect of the shade which blocks the sunlight. So that's why it's okay. And that's why they allow it. So bottom line is according to this stage in the Gemara. All agreed. Rabbi Yossi and Rabban agreed. Zeh v'zeh goyim is asr. When you have two causations, two powers that are bringing about a certain result, we have to reckon with both aspects. And if there's any problem there, you can't be mater. You have to deem the resulting product as a product which is asur. The reason why Rabbi Yossi allows us to grind up the Avodah Zarah and toss it into the wind, because it's unlikely it's going to land in any place that's going to create a problem, whereas Rabban, on the other hand, allow by the shedding leaves, because it's sort of cancelled out by the damage caused by the shade of this tree. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. Shalosh Asherah is saying, right? Three levels of Asherah planted for Avodah Zarah, the entire thing is Avodah Zarah. Fixed up Avodah Zarah, only future growth of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah placed beneath the tree, it's only temporarily Asher until you get rid of it, until you move out the Avodah Zarah. Reb Shimon holds in this case, it would be mutter, because they're not worshipping the tree itself. There's no concern about Ma'ar Sa'ayin. It doesn't become Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, because it's a tree in the ground. It's not considered serving Avodah Zarah. See, all that's mutter. Now, we had indicators, Rav's indicator, Shmuel's indicator, in terms of how to identify an Asherah tree. Keep away from the shade, the shadow of the tree. Don't walk beneath it, unless it's encroaching public territory, in which case, if there is no other reasonable route, you can walk beneath it, unless you're an Adam Chashev. I concluded that at this point, all agree Zev is a Gerim would be Asr. All the best to you, and Atzlach Rav.